kids in a word of prayer. But gracious Father, we truly believe, Lord, that you're here. And since you're here, Lord, all things are possible to them that believe. And Father, knowing that there's a great, great revelation of a dynamic manifestation that is taking place in this hour, help us, Father, never to be looking back or looking forward, but simply, Lord, to keep our eyes upon you. And believing, Father, that we're, as your bride, are to be caught up into the great revelation of Jesus Christ, the manifested Son of Man. And Father, may we truly have our eyes and our ears opened and our hearts to receive thy word. And Lord, that your enlightenment might truly transform us by the renewing of our mind, bringing us forth into a body that is not death and decay, but bringing forth, Lord, a change in our mortal to immortal. And now we just commit the hearing of thy word, the preaching of thy word, unto thee, the author and finisher of our faith, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. May we see it. Wednesday night we covered paragraphs 126 through 128. And in these paragraphs we saw Brother Branham address church politics as being rotten in nature, and that is why those who practice such are also of such a nature that they could eat from the old food that has become rotten and maggot infested. So it doesn't surprise me in the least to see those who would be prone to play church politics eating filthy old food from another day. He said in paragraph 127 that a Christian could not eat such stuff as that because his nature is that like an eagle. And an eagle has got to have fresh food. And you've got to see this message in the day in which you live. Not in another's day, but in your day. And that's why I think that there goes beyond just looking back and saying God sent a prophet, because let's face it, there's many of us that wasn't our day. Some of you weren't even born then. Others that were born, but maybe just 10, 12 years old at the most. And, you know, that's 28 years ago he went off the scene. So you've got to see the message in the day in which you live. From an audio letter from Brother Branham to Brother Vail in 1964, Brother Branham said, "Would it be, you think, advisable in here to say that God then, in order to proclaim this, has to send a prophet in order to inject this, to make this real again, to show the people the hour we're living in? Because if they only see it in the hour past, then there's no hope for the church. The church must see it in the present tense. So God sends his prophet to manifest present tense of it." You see? And then after it's over, then history is. Now you might inject that, Brother Lee. I don't know whether that's any good or not, but it's just a thought right here. Thanks a lot. I think it's pretty good. I think it's the old expression, it's swell. Because to me, I'll just repeat this again. He says, if they only see it in the hour past, then there's no hope for the church. The church must see it in the present tense. So God sends his prophet to manifest present tense of it. And even when you're dealing with your children, to them, Brother Branham on the scene, that's historical. That's something in the past. But that same God is here revealing that same word, brother, sister. In fact, and as I said here, so you see, brothers and sisters, you've got to see the revelation of the manifestation, or the word has not yet become a reality to you. And Brother Branham said from the rapture, paragraph 80, he said, it's the revelation of the manifestation of the word made true. And we're living in that day, praise be to God, the revelation of the mystery of his self. Let me just repeat this, because notice the wording in which he says, it's the revelation of the manifestation. You see, the manifestation could take place, but if there's no revelation of it, then where are the people? So the manifestation took place, and that already has. But brother, sister, it's the revelation that is breaking forth amongst the elect. From paragraph 76 in a message called The Trial, Brother Brown said, in the last days, that at the end, the seventh angel's seventh messenger's message, that all these scriptures would be made real and made manifest. So the reality is this, brother, sister, that the manifestation is there. Because until that word is manifested, it has not become real. It's only a hope so, or it's only I believe so. But until you see that word manifested, it's not a reality. It's theology. See? And so he says, and let me repeat again, in the last days, that the end, the seventh angel, seventh messenger's message, that all these scriptures would be made real and made manifest. Now notice he said they are made real because why? Because they were made manifest. But unless it is revealed what the manifestation is, you will not even recognize it. And therefore the life that's in it cannot be unleashed into you. It is first manifested, then revealed. Let me say that again. It is first manifested, then revealed. And this revelation is what quickens you. Again, from paragraph 117 of the Rapture, Brother Branham said, and now it's all to be manifested in the grain of wheat at the end. Notice, it's all to be manifested in the grain of wheat at the end. Now, if you take Luke, the 17th chapter, in the 30th verse, he said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man begins to reveal himself. And what is reveal? Make his revelation of what he is in this day revealed out to the people. The word that's made known for the day revealed to the people. How? By the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Making that Jesus live among us. So we see, brother, sister, that the manifestation of what took place in this hour brings forth the revelation. But the question is, why then do some not see the revelation, even though they're looking at the manifestation? And that comes down to election. And it also comes down to whether they're truly born again or not. Now remember in 1 Peter 1 and 23 says, being born again not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. So people can be born again of corruptible seed, but what Peter was specifically bringing to our attention was that we need to be born of incorruptible by the word of God. There's many people who claim to be born again, even following this message, but they haven't been birthed by the message. They haven't been birthed by the word. Brother Branham said, the new birth is Christ, and it is a revelation. That's a strong one. The new birth is Christ. And then he paused, he says, is a revelation. Now think about that. Because we're dealing with the inner man. He goes on and says, God has to reveal to you this great mystery, and that's the new birth. Now, it's very contrary to everything you ever heard in the old Pentecostal days, or even in the early days of the message. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together, where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God expressing it through His Word by the same actions? The same things that he did, making the word manifest. Oh, if the church only knew its position, and it will one day, then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. From Christ is the mystery of God revealed, Brother Brown said, Jesus said, at that day, that's this day, at that day when this revelation is made known, you will know that I am in the Father and the Father in me, I in you and you in me. When the revelation is made manifest. Now, I thought he said that it's the revelation of the manifestation. And yet here he says, when the revelation is made manifest. What then is the manifestation? The manifestation is the revelation. And the revelation is of the manifestation. In other words, in the beginning God was all thought. And when God expressed that thought, it became word. And when that word then took on flesh, that word then was the manifestation of the revelation, right? But notice, many people, the one that Christ, when he came into flesh, came into manifestation, many people rejected him. So what? They didn't have the revelation of God in flesh, of the manifestation. Therefore, then you've got to have the revelation of the manifestation. And when you have the revelation of the manifestation, you're back to the beginning again. You're back to God's thoughts. Can you see that? The spoken word is the, what, original seed. See? So here you have revelation, which is in God, his thoughts. Now you have that, when that thought is expressed, it becomes visible, tangible, manifest. The word made flesh. Then when you perceive that which you see take place in your hour, and you see what it is, your thoughts become his thoughts. And you see you're back to glory. Hallelujah. Anyway, I'll read it again. He said, Jesus said at that day, and that's this day, at that day when this revelation is made known, you will know that I am in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. When the revelation is made manifest, at that day ye shall know that I and the Father are one. I'm in the Father's in me. Then when the revelation comes forth, then it's I in you, and you in me. Oh, that's so beautiful. From Works as Faith Expressed, 1965, Brother Brown said, he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the manifestation of his Spirit, now catch these words, and the manifestation of his Spirit is catching away a bride. Hallelujah. Let that faith, then he says, revelation, fall into your heart that this is the hour. Let me read that again. And the manifestation of his Spirit is catching away a bride. Do you realize, brother, sister, when you catch the manifestation of what took place, it means that the revelation, it means that the very thoughts of the one who brought it into manifestation have become your thoughts. And that's what's catching you away. Then you know in that day that you're in the Father. He said, I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. See? You know, we find in Deuteronomy, I believe the 20th chapter, he says, the secret things belong unto God, but those that are revealed belong unto you and to your children. See? From the trial, paragraph 80. Brother Branham said, we don't look for nail scars, we look for the Word made manifest. And what is that manifest? Brought into a reality. From When Their Eyes Were Opened, Beaumont, Texas, 1964, he said, and we find out that he rebuked them sharply. They were disciples, because they didn't know the Word, that when it was made manifest before them, they didn't understand it. What? The same thing has happened today. But in the minds of the people, it makes you feel sorry for them, because one's got a group going this way, and one's got one going this way, and all they think about is making that group grow. And that's the reason that Christ can't reveal himself to the people. So what catches away the revelation of Jesus Christ? The fact that they're more concerned about growing numbers and growing a church body, a church group, than they are about the revelation itself. Now, picking up then today, this would be number 17. From paragraph 128. He said, God promised rabbits in the days of Luther. He promised one thing in the days of others. But now, notice, now he's promised us a full square meal. the full seven course menu for all the seven seals are opened. You know, there's many people that believe the seven seal is not opened yet. And he says, for all the seven seals are opened and everything is ready for the word of God for those who can receive. Hawks hopping like buzzards, oh my. Think of it. How critical. What? How the hour is. Just as the hawk has long lost his identification as a hawk, so has the church long lost her identification as a lesser bird brother of the eagle, God's prophets. Once a carrier of the true word, justification, then it become a carrier of sanctification, then it become a carrier of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, restoration of the gifts. But then when it goes on and keeps going back to try to eat something, some other manna from another day, it's rotten. It's no good. A genuine eagle of this day knows that that was all right. But we got that plus until Jesus is made manifest. See, present tense. In the fullness of his power, as he promised to be in the last days. Now, notice, he said it was for those who can receive it, the seven seals being opened. Then in the next paragraph, he said the others just keep going back to eat something, some manna that fell in another day. And that lets you know that they are not eagles. They're something else. See? Now, we're going to focus a little bit on this thought. He says, for those who can receive it. And pick up where we left off on Wednesday night. We turn to Matthew 13. And beginning of verse 11, he said, and he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Excuse me, verse 10, he says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speak thou in parables? He said, because it's given to you to know the mysteries, but unto them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he thinketh he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should have to heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Now, notice then, he's letting you know that only a certain ones are predestinated to understand. And those who understand will be drawn to the revelation of Jesus Christ. But those who do not must then be drawn to something else and away from the revelation. I believe it's Feast of the Trumpets, Brother Bram said, and when the seven seals open, he said the bride will be drawn together to it. They'll be drawn up by the revelation of seven seal. See, so there's got to be an attraction, because in order to be drawn, there's got to be an attraction. See, it's like a magnet. You have a magnet of one pole and a magnet of another pole. There's an attraction there. See, now, but this thought of being drawn, you can either be drawn to Christ or drawn away from Christ. And this is the thing that Brother Brown says, see, it's only for those who can receive it. See. Now, if you turn with me to John chapter 6, in verse 44 and 45, he says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. So God has got to be drawing you. And then he says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. See? So, what's he saying? It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught. Okay, but then every man, therefore, that hath heard, you got to hear, and hath learned, you got to learn. of the Father cometh unto me. The Father draws them, the Father teaches them, and the people have got to learn. And brother, sister, if you come to the place where you just can't learn, then I would have to question whether the Father is drawing. See? We come constantly to hear the Word, to learn and to understand. Because that's why the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him has come down. He's come to teach us His way. We sing the song, "Teach me thy way, O Lord." See? So notice then, they must hear and learn then, and only then, do they come. Why? Because, brother, sister, look it. We know that Alpha has become Omega, right? And we know that in Alpha, the revelation of God became flesh. And the people saw it, and the people rejected. Therefore, they did not receive the revelation of God. And we know that you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we know that they couldn't have a transformation because there was no renewing of the mind. Right? Okay, Christina. So, then we find that Alpha has got to repeat in Omega. God stepped into a body of flesh, came down, ministered through the voice of the prophet, brought forth a manifested Christ among us, and it was rejected. God sent us a prophet, and that's about as far as it got. And they failed to recognize that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, came down. No different than when God came down and had dinner with Abraham. God came down in this hour, stepped into a body of flesh. Like Brother Branham, someone said to him, he had just talked about Jesus. When Jesus talked about Philip, said, "Show us the Father," he said, "You see me, don't you?" And Brother Branham said, he said, "People want to see God." He said, "You see me, don't you?" Now that wasn't being boastful, but let's face it. God stepped into Moses, God stepped out of Moses. God stepped into Paul by the pillar of fire, God stepped out of Paul. God stepped into William Branham, God stepped out of William Branham. And you saw God manifested in the veil of flesh. And so he says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." There's got to be a drawing. We find in 1 Peter, though, that the people want to go back because it's a stumbling stock, stumbling block. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 9. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." And as we said before, people don't want to be sincere. See? Being sincere means genuine. "If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at thy word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." So notice then, these who the word stumbles them were appointed to be stumbled. See? "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And the word light lets you know that there's talking about illumination. It's talking about understanding. Now in paragraph 129, he said, "The others will only eat food, manna, from another day. They will and must then, by their very nature," he said, "go backwards." And let's just read that again. Paragraph 129. "Hawks hopping like buzzards, oh my, think of it, how critical, how the hour is. Just as the hawk has long lost his identification as a hawk, so has the church long lost identification as the lesser bird of the eagle, God's prophet. So one time, brother, sister, they had to be identified with the prophet. But now they've lost their identification with the prophet. Once a carrier of the true word, they carried the message of the hour, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, restoration of the gifts. But then when it goes on and keeps going back and trying to eat something, some manna from another day, it's rotten, it's no good. A genuine eagle of this day knows that that was all right. But we got that plus until Jesus Christ is made manifest, present tense, in the fullness of his power as he promised to be in the last days. Now, he said the others will only eat food, manna, from another day. They will and must by their very nature then go backwards. But remember in the audio letter to Brother Vail, what Brother Branham said. He said, if they only see it in the hour past, and I want this to ingrain into you, be etched into your minds. I quote, if they only see it in the hour past, then there's no hope for the church. If they only believe God sent a prophet, brother, sister, there's no hope for the church because he's come and gone. Huh? The church must see it in the present tense. So God sends his prophet to manifest present tense of it. Now we pick up again in Mark chapter 4. And verse 10 to 12, he says, and when he was alone, they that were about with him, with the twelve, asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Now, isn't it interesting, brother, sister, that Jesus says there's a group that's within and a group that's without? Huh? Well, then why would they reject those that were within? Now, there's a lot of people who try to say that they were in that inner circle around Brother Branham. Because they hunted with him. They fished with him. But you know, he never talked doctrine with them. There was one that was in that inner circle that didn't like to go hunting and only went fishing with him just so he could be there to talk word. And isn't Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? And didn't he say that the message was presented in such a way so that many would hear it but not understand it? He said, those are the ones without. But to you that are within, you have the understanding. Like Brother Ram said, that things were written in such a way, you write a letter to your wife, you use little words that only you know and she knows, catch between the lines. I think it's a wonderful thing that God allowed the prophet to spend time with Brother Vail, 4 hours sometimes at a sitting, to cover one point of doctrine. And yet when the Church Age book was written with a full understanding between Brother Vail and Brother Branham, many people, and even to this day, many people reject it and say it was Lee Vail's book. Brother Branham said, it's only for those who can receive it. So, we can see how Alpha's Omega, how these things tie together. He said, those that are without cannot understand, lest seeing they perceive, and hearing they might understand. He purposely words it in such a way as to blind those not predestinated to it. Why? Because it is not meant for them. Like Brother Branham illustrates about the eagles and the hawk, and he said the eagle can soar to an altitude that the hawk could never follow. If he tried it, he said he would disintegrate. The pressure is too great and its feathers would begin to come out. And I think that's about what has happened to many of the birds in this message. Brother Branham said that they were crows with peacock feathers attached. Well, not only that, but There are all sorts of different birds with eagle's feathers, quotes, attached, trying to be like and act like the prophet, but they can't soar where he soared because they're not predestinated to it. And when they try to follow, their feathers can't take the pressure and they fall out, leaving them exposed as what they truly are, naked birds, blind, miserable, and naked, and don't know it. You know, it's kind of hilarious when you think about it. Just think of chickens plucked off their very plumage. Now, can you imagine standing in a barnyard and watching a healthy rooster and a bunch of hens with their bright coats on, strutting about, showing off their coats? You know, the old rooster, he's got his real red comb and he's got his bright orange feathers. He's strutting around like this. Now picture him with all plucked off. Look pretty funny, wouldn't it? Just chicken skin showing. That old rooster just strutting around trying to impress the other chickens. But he doesn't realize that he's lost his feathers. And that's exactly the manifestation. Those not predestinated to see and understand will and must go backwards. We find in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13 to 15, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." Interesting. Those people that came out of Pentecost, they keep pointing back to Pentecost. Brother, sister, you keep Pentecost in front of you and you will return to Pentecost. See? You keep your old thoughts before you and you will return to them. See? God calls for total separation. You know, it took me a long time. I used to think about Minnesota quite a bit and have the urge to go back. You know, one day God just let me cut it off. It's a nice place to visit, but I'm thankful that I'm from there. Like Brother Vail always says about Canada, it's a nice place to be from. Nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. Place is infested with filthy homosexuals, and it's one of the most liberal places. They said it's a sister now. Minneapolis, St. Paul's a sister city to San Francisco. Brother Branham saw it back in 1953 when he was in Minneapolis. He called it a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm glad I'm from there, not on my way. I don't mind visiting. I don't mind going up and enjoying the weather. Got some friends that live there, but they can have it. I don't want it. Now notice in if we turn to notice the scripture says if they had been mindful, they would have had opportunity. You see, Brother Brown said, you be careful what you pray for. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. He said, "And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having their eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children." Notice, "which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." Now notice the very word there, forsaken, lets you know, brother, sister, that they were once in the truth and these people were even feasting with you. But notice they were sporting themselves with their own deceivings, their own little revelations while they feasted with you. See? Now, but they forsaken, we find in Jude verse 13. He says, calls them, well, let's just read verse 12. "These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, every wind of doctrine." See, "trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. See, their own shame. Wandering stars. As Brother Bram said, they wander because they're always wondering this and wondering that. See, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now, they become wandering stars. Why? Because their mind has not settled in. Brother, sister, when you've done all you can do to stand, then what do? We just simply stand. See? Now, this takes us then, noticing that they're leaving the truth, walking away from it, we ask ourselves why. And if you turn with me to Isaiah 28, and remember Jesus said he's the rock of offense, a stumbling stone to them that do not believe. But we find in Isaiah 28, verse 9 to 13, he says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing,' yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken, snared, and taken." Now, I'd like to read this again from a couple of translations. The NIV puts it this way. Who is he trying to teach? Notice who's doing the teaching. God. Doesn't he come down with a shout, which is a military command, a message going forth, Brother Ram said? Notice, who is he trying to teach? And to whom is he explaining his message? Now remember, Jesus said, all those that are without, he said it's done in parables so that they might not see and perceive, and they might not hear and understand. Now they do hear it, but they don't understand it. See? The midnight cry came, and the wise virgin were ready, but the foolish virgin were not. They didn't understand what it was all about. So as we read again from the NIV, it says, who is he trying to teach? And to whom is he explaining his message? To children weaned from milk? To those just taken from the breast? For it is do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule, a little here, a little there. Very well then, with foreign lips and strange tongues will God speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the resting place. Let the weary rest. And this is the place of repose. But they would not listen. Now look, he's letting you know that their rest comes from hearing. Jesus said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he's the word. See? He said, this is the resting place, let the weary rest. And this is the place of repose, but they would not listen. So then the word of the Lord to them will become do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule, a little here, a little there. So that they will go and fall backward, be injured, snared, and captured. Now let me just lay this out a little bit for you so you understand. The very word that goes forth that they hear that attracts them is the very word that they end up rejecting. And because they reject the light of that word, but they cling to the letter of that word, they fall into bondage to the letter. Now, when he says, do and do, rule and rule, let me read this again from the New American Standard. And I think it's going to help you understand something. Because what did Brother Branham do before the seals were broke? Church order. Doesn't James say that you must bridle the tongue in order to control the whole body? And then he illustrates about a horse. We put a bit in a horse's mouth so that if you can control the horse's tongue, you can control his whole body. And so Brother Brown preached church order before the seals. Now notice, the New American Standard. To whom would he teach knowledge? And to whom would he interpret the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just taken from the breast? For he says, order on order. Order on order.
Then line on line. Didn't Brother Branham say, stay in line? See? Line on line. A little here, a little there. Indeed, he speaks to this people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. Kentuckian. See? He who said to them, here is your rest. Give rest to the weary. And here is repose. But they would not listen. So, the word of the Lord to them will be order on order. Order on order. Line on line. Line on line. And instead of finding rest in the word, they find order on order. Order on order. Line on line. Line on line. A little here, a little there, that they may go and stumble backward, be broken, snared, and taken captive. Now, did you ever stop to think what takes them captive? It's the order on order. Order on order. And the rules on top of rules. You see it? And they get so mired down in the legalism and following every single detail that they're caught up into that instead of the life that's in that. The order had to come to get you to be still and to know that God was on the scene. See? Now, let's turn to Isaiah 27, or 29, excuse me, and let's read verse 7 to 14. And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her munition and that distress her, shall be as a dream of a night vision. And it shall even be as when an hungry man dreameth, and beholdeth he eateth, but he awakeneth and his soul is empty. Or as when a man that is thirst, when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold he drinketh in his dream, but he awakeneth and behold he is faint and his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Ariel, or excuse me, Mount Zion. Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry you out and cry. They are drunken, not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. In other words, their staggering and drunkenness, brother or sister, isn't from the stimulation of revelation. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, the prophets, and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Now, in that verse 13 he says, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. The New American Standard says, their reverence for me consists of traditions learned by rote. Which means learned by repetition. In fact, the Amplified says, their fear and reverence for me are a commandment of men that is learned by repetition without any thought of the meaning. The NIV puts it this way, their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. If you turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. Verses 1 to 3. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye soon not be shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now notice there's got to be that falling away, and as we said, the falling away begins where? Remember it said they forsake the right way and they follow the error of Balaam? So, brother, sister, they've got to be in the truth. They've got to hear the midnight cry. They've got to be standing there with the prophet. They've got to be standing there on "Thus saith the Lord," and then they turn from it. See? Notice that word "falling away." That word is apostasia. It means a divorcement, a great forsaking. We find in James chapter 1, the Bible says we forsake, we fall away when we're drawn away of our own lusts. Verse 13, "Let no man say when he's tempted or tested or solicited to sin, I am solicited to sin of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted or solicited to sin when he is drawn away or taken in tow of his own lust and enticed." See? Drawn away. A Greek word, ex elko. And the word ex means out from. And the word elko means lured, or to be lured out from. And it's the same word elko, which would be used in when you're talking about fishing, using a lure, something to attract. See? Now we find in Acts chapter 20. In verse 26 to 28. "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things," notice, "to draw away disciples after them." So the perverse things are doing what? They're attracting like a lure. See? Now remember, when you go fishing, you have a lure and you have a bait. And the bait is there, but they're not really attracted to the bait. They're attracted by the lure. They're attracted by something, brother, sister, and usually it's something that's shining. And isn't that what people are attracted? Something that's shiny? And so anyway, they get attracted by the lure. Then what? Then they come up and they sniff around and then they smell the bait. And then when they swallow the bait, they're on the hook. See? And that's exactly the way Satan has done it. He comes in, brings in alongside a true doctrine, heresy, something shiny, something attractive. Well, that catches their attention. Pretty soon they're looking at that, and the more they get close to it, they start feeding them the bait, quotes. And pretty soon the people latch onto it, and they've got a female Holy Ghost. See? Or they got some other false doctrine. See? We find in Galatians chapter 1, he said, "I marvel," verse 6, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another." Remember, it's not another of a different in numbers, but it's another, which is I believe the word is hypostasis, which means that there's a it's of a different nature. "But there be some that trouble you and would it's a perverted, you see, that would pervert the gospel of Christ." So what is it then? They're drawn away. It says, I marvel that you're so soon removed. Why? Because you were drawn. They were lured, see, away to another gospel. We find in chapter 2, verse 12, Paul says, "For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the concision." And so even Peter, brother, sister, withdrew himself. And Paul had to openly rebuke him. See? Now, we find in Hebrews chapter 10. A couple of scriptures will close. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Brother, sister, we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Notice the drawing back leads to what? Perdition. "But of them that believe to the saving of the soul." And finally, in closing, We'll read paragraphs 129 to 133. Brother Branham said, the hawks hopping like buzzards. Oh my, think of it. How critical, how the hour is. Just as the hawk has long lost his identification as a hawk, so has the eagle long lost her identification as a lesser bird brother of the eagle, God's prophets. Once a carrier of the true word, justification, then it become a carrier of sanctification, then it become a carrier of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, restoration of the gifts, but when it goes on and keeps going back to try to eat something, manna from another day, it's rotten. It's no good. A genuine eagle of this day knows that that was all right, but we got that plus until Jesus is made manifest in the fullness of his power as he promised to be in this last day. She is now a dry shuck. It's past. The Spirit of God passed through her. It's true. And will not. She will not be with the vindicated seed word. She sure will not be. She'll not be in the rapture. She will be in a church. She will be a church member. Maybe come up in the second resurrection, be judged according to what she heard. If you're here tonight and just a church member, what's your judgment going to do, or going to be, when we all have to stand there and witness you heard the truth? See? She no more flies into the blues like into the unknown, under the supernatural, where the powers and heights in the promises of God's eternal word has made possible all things to them that believe. She won't believe that. She says she falls right back on the telephone wire and says, my denomination says the rapture is all right. Though they got maggots in them, but yet they're not all right. See? She depends on that. Pentecost is like her denominational vulture sister, sitting now in large council seats of the ungodly, certainly, listening to her worldly politics head, feeding her on vulture food of dead rabbits and something that passed by 50 years ago. That's the condition of the Pentecostal church, oh my. Just as Sarah tried to bring the promise of the supernatural by hand-picked Hagar, so is a church trying to bring a revival, our great evangelists across the countries today, a revival in our time, all you Methodists, Baptists, Pentecostals, all get together. How can you have a revival of fresh manna on an old dead vulture? How can you have it? Revival in our time. The revival would be so small, they'd never know it ever happened. Or that it was ever happening. That makes present tense, and they're not aware of it. Pentecostal said, oh, there's going to be a great thing happen. It's happening, and they don't know it. That's it, yes, sir. For where the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered. That's where it said, what is the carcass? The Word. He is the Word, the carcass Christ. Christ in you, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what I'm trying to bring across, and maybe haven't been able to hit home this morning, but notice Brother Branham said it's happening and they don't know it. It's so small that they're looking for something great. And so what I'm trying to bring across this morning is this fact. That Brother Branham says that it's only for those who can receive it. See? And he's letting you know that the revelation of the manifestation is catching the bride away. But the manifestation has taken place and the people don't have a revelation of that manifestation. And because they don't have a revelation of that manifestation, then to them it's history. To them it's God sent a prophet. And yet he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. John came and introduced the people to Christ. John went off the scene. And his disciples, they went with him. They came to see Jesus. Jesus said, the dead live, the blind see, the lame walk. And they said, oh, that's interesting. We'll go tell John. Did they ever come back? My Bible doesn't say so. Isn't the conditions the same as it was then? What I'm hoping, brother, sister, will see is we've got to have our eyes pinned on Christ. He is still here. And you've got to have the revelation of the manifestation if there's any hope for the church. because it's got to be in present tense. Not looking back. Not looking forward. Looking forward is hope so. Looking back is history. But for that word to become a reality to you, it's got to be manifest to you. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we know that you have come down with a great purpose in heart, and that is to manifest yourself the same, to come down in the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, coming down with a shout to gather together your elect. And we know, Father, first you, when that shout went forth, there had to be an order, order on order, line on line. And yet, Lord, we know that as we spoke of a few weeks ago, that your Son said, "My words are spirit and they're life." And men were so attracted to the word, looking for life. But because they saw the wisdom and the order of that scripture and the way it came, that they were so caught up into the beauty and the order and the wisdom that they soon forgot about the life that laid within. And Father, we believe that you are here. Not that you were here, although that is true, but that you still are. And that is so greatly needed. For if we could only look back and say, "Yes, you came in that prophet," then we have no hope. But to believe that you have remained the same yesterday, today, and forever. Believing that the same pillar of fire who was here, we have, "Thus saith the Lord," that you are here to lead us into the millennium. And Father, we can look unto the author as the finisher. You who began the work, we can look unto you for finishing it. And Lord, we commit our thinking to you. May it be present tense. May we see the revelation of the manifestation. And thus, knowing in that day, you said, "I'll be in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me." May the mind of God be in us, is our prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We have the musicians come forward. Number 195, brother, sister, this ought to bring you rest, knowing the revelation of the manifestation is what's catching the bride away. And the manifestation, he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the manifestation of his spirit is catching away a bride. Hallelujah.